As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Don't just entertain your life. We're not here to just be entertained. Employ what God has given you, your time, your talents, your treasures, the highest occupation on earth, the highest employment, if you will, is to be useful to the despotes of the universe, the master who came and laid his life down for you and me. Serve in such a way that you be useful to the master.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today, we'll be turning to 1 Peter chapter 4. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Serving Him. I invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Lord, speak now as we open your word, because your servants are listening. Amen. I say it by faith, but we've gathered to listen, to hear from the Lord of the universe. The Lord of the universe, when he came to serve. The despotes, I use that word particularly because it's not the normal word for Lord, but it shows up every now and then in the New Testament. And you can hear behind that word, despot. And when we think that word, I don't know about you, but I think, ugh. Because anybody that amasses all power in any situation is a dangerous man. But the Lord of the universe is the despotes. He has all power. And it's striking to me that when he's referred to that way, Simeon at birth, Simeon said, "Now, Lord, despotes, let your bondservant depart in peace." Because the Lord had told him, "You're going to get to see my means of salvation." And when he held the baby, Jesus, he said, "Now, despotes, I can depart in peace." When they were told, "Do not speak in this name anymore," and they were released, they went to the prayer meeting in Acts 4. And I read, they said, "Lord, you're the one who made the heaven and the earth." But they didn't say the normal word for Lord. They said, "Now, despotes, you made the heaven and the earth. Take note of their threats and give us boldness." Give us boldness. I love that. And when Paul exhorts Timothy toward the end of that chapter that begins with, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ." When he closes that chapter, and he goes through several analogies, but when he gets to that one about being a vessel just in the hands of the master, and it's often translated master, by the way, because it has that thought, you know. He said, "Sanctify yourself, cleanse yourself, set yourself apart to him so that you can be a vessel useful to the master." That's a high and holy calling. We were saved to serve. Our Lord came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, Mark 10:45 says. And by the way, his service meant sacrifice. And service and suffering, service and sacrifice go together. Thursday marked the 75th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy. And it was a turning point in the war. It was a turning point also for Ken Jacobs. Fewer and fewer of those guys are around today. He's 97. He lives in a senior center in Minnesota. But it was a turning point for Ken Jacobs, an American soldier in the second wave hitting Omaha Beach. Just prior to the assault, the commanding officer of Company C, 112th Engineering Battalion, told Jacobs and fellow soldiers, "You're expendable. You're all expendable. If you go down, there are soldiers behind you, and soldiers behind them, and more soldiers. The beach, that beach, is our mission. We must take that beach." Jacob said his commanding officer continued to drive home that message while men prepared to leap from landing craft into the cold English Channel. As he jumped out, the gangly young Jacobs turned to his best friend. "I'll see you on the beach." Germans killed that friend minutes later. Their mortars and machine guns cut down other soldiers. Jacobs made it to shore behind an amphibious tank that protected him from gunfire. He crouched behind corpses on the pummeled beach, trying to advance while avoiding mines. Within 6 hours, soldiers captured the plateaus above Omaha Beach. Eventually, Jacobs made it to the French countryside. More than 1,700 died there at Omaha, just that one sector of the invasion. In the next 90 days, 30,000 men gave their lives to liberate Normandy. When Jacobs entered the army at 23, he sensed God telling him not to be afraid. "Let those with palpitating heart hear the Lord. Take courage, do not be afraid." Sam opened our prayer meeting with a meditation out of Isaiah 35. I don't know what day it was, but I've been sharing that verse ever since because it spoke to my heart. "Let those with palpitating heart fear not." Well, Jacobs sensed God telling him not to be afraid, that he would protect him. He believed God preserved his life at Normandy specifically for a higher purpose. After the war, Jacobs enrolled in Bible college. There he met his future wife, Elaine, who lost her first husband when Nazis shot down his plane. Wycliffe Bible translators sent Ken and Elaine to the Chamula people of southern Mexico. Earlier missionaries had dubbed these descendants of the ancient Maya the impossible people because of the difficulty reaching them. The Chamulas had no written language. They practiced animism, sacrifice, and witchcraft. Alcoholism and poverty reigned in a system that kept people chained to tradition, ritualism, and fear. They distrusted outsiders and threatened to kill new faces. The Jacobs spent 50 years among the Chamula, gaining the trust of one person at a time. They created a written language and spent 23 years teaching it to the people and translating it into the New Testament. Jerry Jacobs, the Jacobs' adopted Chamula son, then a young boy, now 61, remembers his dad sitting daily with orange 3x5 cards, pointing to objects and writing phonetically what his Chamula friend uttered. While Ken did most of the translation work, Elaine won over Chamulas by treating their diseases, especially parasitic illnesses. Previously, when someone professed Christ, other Chamulas would treat him as an invader, ostracizing him and sometimes killing him or family members. They often burned down the home of new believers or threw them in prison, believing they had violated sacred traditions. Despite persecution, so many Chamulas came to Christ that Jacobs, with help from the Mexican Bible Society, began coordinating the translation of the Old Testament. They finished translating the entire Bible in 2001. Today, tens of thousands of Chamulas call Christ their Savior. More than 130 evangelical churches preach the gospel. The Chamula people now thrive in their communities, having gone from little or no involvement in business, education, and politics to leaders in every of those areas. Ken and Elaine's adopted son from the tribe, Jerry Jacobs, said he can't help but think of his homeland when he reads in Isaiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." Elaine Jacobs went home to be with the Lord in January. Ken, 97, lives in that senior center in Minnesota. The author writes, "When my husband Bill and I met Ken Jacobs, he got our attention by telling us what his commander at Normandy told him. Then he grabbed Bill's lapel, looked him in the eye with a piercing gaze, and proclaimed, 'Christ was expendable.' He was expendable for you. You were his mission." I want to talk about serving him. And I believe the foundation for all service of him is the great sacrifice in his service. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. When you and I were saved, we were saved to serve. If you know Jesus Christ, service is in your DNA. It's just who you are. Now, if you don't know him, let me say, I'm teaching John in another venue, and 98 times in the Gospel of John, he says, believe, trust, rely upon. Don't lean on your own understanding. The Bible says, trust wholly in what Jesus Christ did for you. Once that gets a hold of you, though, and that's the great theme of the gospel, that's the great theme of John. Yet John begins and ends, and littered throughout the gospel of John and throughout the whole Bible is this great call, follow me. Belief, in one sense, is passive. It's to trust. Rely upon him. You come to him and you realize he died for you. You had no help. You had no hope. You were helpless. But when you realize what he did for you and you believe in him, it goes hand in glove with this call, follow me. And follow me is an active command. And you see it all the way through. From the beginning, follow me, from fish to feeding my sheep, you know, follow me and you'll be catching better than fish. You'll be catching people. And at the end, do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. What about this guy? What about that guy? You follow me. You follow me. Now, our text today, I want you to turn there, is 1 Peter 4. And this is a one-off. I couldn't believe it. Several people asked me, are you going to teach Hebrews? And I said, man, I thought I'd said that. But we're gonna be back in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 next week. And we're not going to go as slow as we have been. But I'm telling you, I'm excited to stay in Hebrews. But I'm excited today to take a one-off just for a few minutes. And then we're going to have some other parts of this service that excite me. But I want us to turn to 1 Peter 4. And I'll just say right now, in case I forget to say, often when I close in prayer, you know, it's kind of like it's over. And you might see people getting up. Most of those people getting up, by the way, are servants. They're going out to, and sometimes they're in a hurry because I talked overtime. You know what I mean? But I so appreciate them getting up and going to their mission to serve our next generation and all the other things that go on around here. But today, when I close in prayer, it's going to be sooner than that, and we're going to see a video, and Gary's going to come and challenge us in some service opportunities for this summer, because this thing isn't just summer fun that you've got in your hand. It's opportunity to expend yourself, to be expendable, to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So 1 Peter 4, and let me just, whenever you jump into the Bible, it's good to have a little context. Peter's all about suffering and serving, doing the will of God. And if I were to just quickly jump us into chapter 4, I would say verses 1 through 4, do the will of God in light of what He has done for you, in light of His first coming. Christ has suffered in the flesh. Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Verse 1. Verses 1 through 4. Doing the will of God in light of the first coming. Verses 5 through 9, doing the will of God in light of His second coming. Verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Now, I'll just say that much, and I'll read our text. We just have two verses, verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever serves, or whoever speaks, excuse me, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By the way, the end of verse 11 is our beach. It's our goal. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything we do. To Him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen, huh? Well, let's look at it real briefly. Notice, first of all, every Christian is to be involved in serving. As each one has received a special gift, we're not only to be involved, each one of us has been equipped. There's no such thing as sideline Christians in God's economy. Recently, about 6 weeks ago, I met with a young man who, he's about 30, and he grew up going to our school, and he was around here, but he never really knew Jesus Christ. And about 7 weeks ago, God worked in his heart. I don't know all the details. He told them to me, but I'll tell you this. He came to know Jesus Christ. And it was a joy as I met with him. And he might be here today because he's been here every week. And I'm just saying, the first thing he said to me after he shared a little bit was, I want to serve. Secondly, he said, I want to serve. Three times I heard him say in that brief encounter, I want to serve. Healthy believers. He told me how thankful he is for the grace of God and that God had gotten a hold of him and opened his eyes, and he's now embraced this Savior he'd known about but never really knew as his Lord. I want to serve. Businessman told me, I've been in Midian long enough. And he said to me, I want to serve. And I said, well, what do you want to do? I just want to serve. He reiterated it. And I love to hear that sort of thing. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. Did you see that phrase? Employ it in serving one another. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Don't just entertain your life. And I say that thinking how much time I waste seeing if the guys can hit the white ball where somebody can't catch it, you know. We're not here to just be entertained. Employ what God has given you. Your time, your talents, your treasures. The highest occupation on earth. The highest employment, if you will, is to be useful to the despotes of the universe. The master who came and laid his life down for you and me. Serve in such a way that you be useful to the master. Stay employed. You know, we would say if we were speaking military, wouldn't we? We'd say, stay deployed. One of the reasons, I think one of the main reasons, that we find ourselves dry and disinterested and discouraged and lethargic, loss of appetite for spiritual things, because we're not employed. We're not actively serving. God doesn't want us to just come and feed meals and just get fatter and fatter. He wants us to be fed and equipped to go out and use our lives. Employ. You guys who have teenagers, one of the best things you can do is get them employed. Get them go earning a paycheck. Get them to work. And you've seen the difference, haven't you? And that principle carries over into the spiritual life. Get active. You're a little bit kind of bored. God doesn't want you and I to just live. He wants us to live and be useful to the master. And notice what else it says. Employ it in serving one another. It isn't all about you. It's not all about me. I'm to use my life to serve one another. Jesus said it's the earmark of believers. This is how they'll know you're my followers, by your love for one another. Not just your love for yourself or your love for your life or your circumstances, your love for others. Paul went so far, and I always think of it as in Romans 13, to say that love fulfills the whole law. Love one another, it'll fulfill the whole law. But he repeats himself in Galatians 5, and I was interested to think about that because Galatians 5 is that great chapter where there's this warfare going on between the flesh and the spirit. And he said, loving one another fulfills the whole law.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Serving Him, a message from the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station. And we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
God is so creative. He didn't create any two snowflakes alike. You, Christian, you who follow Christ, you're unique. No one like you. You are a individual part of the body of Christ. Oh, there's other servants. Yes, and some have this gift and some have that gift. And there's many who have these different gifts. But the particular package he put together in your life is unique. And if you and I are missing in action, or perhaps I should say instead of MIA, when I've got kind of the military on my mind, and I think we should, if I'm AWOL, away without leave, that used to be a big World War II term. It still is, really, through the military. But if I'm AWOL, if you're AWOL, something's not getting done.
Join us again next time as we continue in 1 Peter 4. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, Serving Him. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.